Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today. Our first Scripture reading is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The King of Love is my shepherd. How beautiful is that song as we now look at the shepherd again in John 10, verses 1 through 18. Let's hear now the word to us about the shepherd. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climb in by another way, is a thief and abandoned. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Malala Yousafzai learned at an early age who she was. Her life experiences of injustice, her struggles of being a female living in a male, oppressed, dominated society propelled her into a life of activism for women and children. She was the 2014 Nobel Peace Prize laureate at the age of 17. Here is a quote from her. "It is very important to know who you are, to make decisions to show who you are." I read this and found her words really connected me to the sermon this morning and the significance of knowing oneself and then living out this knowing. When I think about my ability at 17 to connect to the world around me and to differentiate myself from others at 17, I am even more inspired by her. This passage in John that I just read is titled "Jesus the Good Shepherd." And I love this image that's up there with Jesus in this beautiful orange colors. And at the foundation, you see, is Jesus holding this sheep with other sheep grazing nearby. It's all peace and calm. But underneath here is a thread of connection woven throughout this entire passage, focused on the concept of knowing and being known. Knowing and being known. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father. Well, of course, there are other things thrown into the mix, the bandits, the thieves, the higher hands, the wolf. And I believe those are all descriptions used as a contrast to the character and the action of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd knows who he is and makes decisions on this knowing that reveal his love and care for his sheep. Now, the significance of this being known is not lost on me, and it's connected to my own personal struggle with Facebook. Do any of you have struggles with Facebook? Okay, I like that. I like that. You're speaking my language here. Mind you, I have not even ventured into TikTok or Instagram. Hold me back from that, I say. Or any other social media. I got to figure this thing out with Facebook first, I think. So why the struggle? It's the endless questions that keep swirling around in my mind. And I'm just going to share a few of a lot other questions that come through my mind. How many hits do I get when I post something? Right? You look at that, right? All right. How many hits do I get when I post something? How many friends do I have? What should I post? What will people think about what I post? What should I say? Is it too personal what I post? Is it too generic what I post? You're with me now, right? You're following me. What pictures do I post? Do I need to get permission to post some pictures? Who will be seeing this? These are just a few, mind you. At the end, I find that I am in a state of paralysis. I really very seldom post anything. And I sincerely believe at the core of my struggle, and yes, there is some anxiety around this too, is this deep-seated need to be connected. You hear me now. We want to be connected, to be accepted, to find our own group, to have authentic relationships. Yes. And I also think that under this yearning to have authentic relationships is this desire to be known, fully known. I want to be known with all of my flaws and my gifts, known, but still loved and accepted. Isn't that true for most of us? Yeah. Isn't it true for most of us? Well, great clarity, thank goodness, about this struggle came to me in a podcast that I listened to on Unlocking Us by Brené Brown when she interviewed Esther Perel. She's a psychotherapist, a New York Times best-selling author, and is one of today's most insightful and original voices on modern relationships. And she has her own podcast. She's written a lot of books. If you have a chance, I encourage you to read more about her. Esther Perel coined a new acronym with a fresh twist. The acronym is AI. Now, what does AI stand for? Okay, you got it. I know what you're thinking. You're right. Artificial intelligence, right? But no. Oh, no. She calls it artificial intimacy. She said this on her podcast, "I can have 1,000 virtual friends." Whoa, she's way ahead of me. "But nobody to feed my cat. Nobody to ask to go and pick up a prescription at the pharmacy. But 1,000 people are giving me likes and dislikes and all kinds of things that are now becoming the foundation of my self-esteem." Her words spoke to me. My eyes opened up, and I get it now. I understand my own personal struggle better. Instead of experiencing connections that are enriching and fulfilling, all I get is this false sense of connection that leaves me feeling disconnected and alone. No wonder I have a struggle with Facebook. Oh yes, I might know some food that somebody is having and it does look really good. And I might know what trips they're going on. The pictures are just lovely. But I don't really know what's happening on the inside with them. I have no idea what their hopes are. Are there desires? Are there struggles? Are there challenges? I have no idea how to pray for them. This idea of true connection and knowing and being known, I believe, is really at the core of the words that Jesus is preaching. Now, in this passage, you might think, well, who is he talking to? Because usually he's talking to crowds of people, right? Or sometimes the disciples, he puts them aside and says, hey, I got something to tell you. But in this passage, he is talking directly to the Pharisees. The Pharisees who have so often been at odds with Jesus. We know that. They were good about telling the people what they should do, right? Demanding strict adherence to the laws and traditions. They were true rule followers. This confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees transpired because of an event that happened earlier. And this is usually happens in Scripture. Something happens, and then there's a response. And that's true right here. Jesus had just given sight to the blind man. Actually, he was born blind. You might remember that story. The Pharisees called his parents in. Do you remember? He questioned his parents. He said, "What happened here?" I'm using my own words, mind you. "How can this boy see? He's been blind." They attributed, of course, to sinfulness and everything else. But they weren't happy with that. So then what did they do? Then they called this sight-restored person, who's an adult now, to come before them again. And they asked him, "How can you see now?" And he talked to them about what Jesus had done. And instead of saying, "Oh my gosh, we have an amazing God who restores sight," they became indignant. They didn't like what he had to say. They were offended. And so they drove the man away. Elizabeth Johnson, an editor from Working Preacher says it better than I could even say it. She says this: the Pharisees who have interrogated the blind men are supposed to be the shepherds of Israel, those who care for, protect, and nourish the people. Instead, they expel the healed blind men from their community, refusing to believe that Jesus and his healing work came from God. These Pharisees, they were more concerned about guarding their power and authority than about the well-being of the people. Now, I might go out on a limb here, but I think the metaphor Jesus uses, the thieves, the bandits, the hired help, and all those descriptive words were used to describe the Pharisees. Jesus is the true shepherd, and the Pharisees are the thieves, the bandits, and the hired hands. They did not know the sheep, and the sheep did not know them. This knowing requires intimacy, a deep connection that compels one to do the best for the other. Jesus describes it himself as laying down his life, sacrificing for those he cares for. The Pharisees were fake shepherds. That's my own take. They had a superficial connection to the people, a little bit like that artificial intimacy. They might have thousands of hits, right? A lot of people under their care, but they don't really know the sheep. They don't know their people, the people they're called to care for, nourish, and protect. Instead, they drove them away, and they put up barriers to knowing the true God. Now, it's far too easy. We like to do this often, to paint the Pharisees as just a corrupt bunch of men. We can say we don't like them, they're totally off base, they're wrong. But I think there's most likely a little bit of Pharisee in each one of us. The need we have for power and control, the need to portray this image that we are these perfect people, we are perfect in everything we do, and in some ways, we're superior to others. Isn't that why we post some of the things we post? Maybe not all, but some. We seek connection, right? We're trying to use all of these virtual ways to connect, but we're scared to be vulnerable and real. And far too often, we settle for just artificial intimacy. The Good Shepherd calls us to do the work, to do the work of discovering just who we are and to whom we belong. This idea of true connection and knowing and being known really is at the core of our faith. The Good Shepherd knows us. We are known by the Good Shepherd. Malala cares for women and children, and her life reflects this belief that she has of caring for them. I think she lives her life as a shepherd. And we can be shepherds too. And it won't happen, I'm afraid, through our likes, our dislikes. It won't happen with our posting of food that we're eating, our trips that we're going on. We can be shepherds by forming authentic relationships with one another that begins by knowing ourselves first. That knowing we seek comes from only one source. It comes from the one who is our true shepherd. It is in and through Christ's perfect love that we are fully known. We are called to listen, though. Always listen to the voice of the shepherd, who will always lead us into green pastures. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.